BP is trying to raise some money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. The latest on BP and the oil gusher in the Gulf of Mexico that's consuming the environment and the British oil company. Today, the spill is likely to become the largest ever in the Gulf, 140 million gallons released. That would eclipse the former record holder, an oil disaster from the 70s, the late 70s. And with the cleanup bill at $2 billion and counting, BP is trying to raise more cash. Analysts say the company needs that money to fill its escrow account for the leak. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more.
The idea that BP may run short of cash would have seemed laughable before the disaster in the Gulf. It was Britain's biggest company. It was awash with money. But in recent weeks, the company has felt compelled to raise more than $20 billion. Now it's reported to be tapping its bankers again. BP is said to be trying to borrow another $5 billion. Nick McGregor is chief oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley. He says BP is preparing for the financial fallout.
It's building a war chest at the moment. It's accumulating funds to deal with the worst-case scenario from the Gulf of Mexico.
BP shares have enjoyed a rare revival. They shot up more than 5% yesterday after analysts suggested that ExxonMobil should bid for the beleaguered company. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
By the way, BP's market capitalization has shrunk by about $100 billion, and shares in the oil giant have lost more than half their value since the spill began on April 20th. Several countries in East Africa are taking a step towards regional economic integration today, but the African trade deal has some people worried about similar pacts. From Arusha, Tanzania, Benedict Moran reports.
Considering all the trouble the European Union is having, it may be a surprise that the economies of Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi formally enter a similar deal today. The East Africa Common Market means more than 126 million people will soon be able to travel freely, find jobs, and start businesses in any of these countries. It's a major step towards the eventual unification of East Africa along the lines of the European Union. Juma Mwapachu, Secretary General of the East African Community, says he hopes less red tape will attract more foreign investors.
This is really the approach that we are really going to take. Use the common market now as a platform for purposes of joint promotion of investments into our region.
But not everyone here is happy. A lot of the complaints sound like those coming out of Europe. Smaller economies in the region are afraid of being overrun by Kenya, which makes up nearly half of the $73 billion bloc. That's like what many in Europe feel about Germany. The U.S. ambassador to the East African Community says the common market will make it cheaper for U.S. companies to do business here. In Arusha, Tanzania, I'm Benedict Moran for Marketplace.
There are more concerns about the economic outlook in Europe after ratings agency Moody's warned it may downgrade Spain's debt rating. That's got numbers tumbling today. European shares are off between 1% and 2%. Asian stocks tanked again today. Japan's Nikkei lost 2%. Everyone else a little less than that. Wall Street yesterday, the losses just keep piling up. Markets were off about 1%. The Dow fell 96 points to close at 97.74. And it ended the second quarter down more than 10%, its worst quarterly showing since the beginning of 2009. Toyota said today it's going to address possible engine failure in as many as 270,000 of its cars, mainly high-end and Lexus models. The Japanese automaker has recalled millions of cars over the past 8 months and won't rule out another recall for these problems. It says no accidents, however, have occurred because of those engine issues.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
Gourmet food trucks are the latest craze in a lot of major cities, but not in Chicago. Red tape in the second city is making it impossible to cook on the go. From Chicago Public Radio, Tony Arnold reports.
You might want to call food trucks the anti-drive-thru. The idea being chefs can bring food to customers anywhere they are. Matt Maroney has cooked at several high-end restaurants in Chicago, but now he's looking to make it on his own, and he's leading the charge to bring food trucks to the city. The only issue being current law forbids trucks from being licensed kitchens.
It's got to be properly ventilated. You have to have wastewater systems and freshwater systems and things of that nature. And that's all part of the code. That's why the code's such a beast.
That's where Scott Wagesback enters. He's a member of the city council who's working to make cooking in mobile kitchens legal. He says food trucks are a valuable member of the community.
They are job creators. They are fun. They get food out into areas of the city that might not otherwise have it.
Not to mention the city can collect additional taxes. But Wagesback says he's running into some resistance. Other members of the city council are worried about what they consider unfair competition, like a food truck serving burritos right outside an already established Mexican restaurant. Still, one company, Flirty Cupcakes, is already trying to make a variation on food trucks work. Their cupcakes are baked and prepared in a licensed kitchen, loaded onto a van, then served from any open parking space downtown. It has a huge following on Twitter, full of people waiting to see where the van is parked. Tiffany Kurtz runs Flirty Cupcakes. She says it was hard trying to comply with all the codes.
Although some things didn't seem to make sense, I quit kind of trying to fight it. And it was more like, okay, if you're telling me this is what it's going to take, then that's what I will do.
Kurtz says business is good, and she's hoping to expand to the suburbs. Meantime, Chef Matt Maroney's still hoping just to get off the ground. He recently opened a brick-and-mortar restaurant called the Gastro Wagon. Admittedly, the wagon part of that name will make more sense, assuming he gets his permit for a food truck. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
And finally, it didn't take long for Microsoft to kick the kin out of its cell phone family. The computer giant said late yesterday it would scrap its mobile device designed and named for social networking just a couple of months after introducing it. Microsoft's not ending all relations with the lucrative smartphone market. The company's been working on new software called Windows Phone 7. But as for the kin, it's now Black Sheep. Hey, whatever your platform, you can check us out online and share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. And you can follow me on Twitter, Chiatakis, MMR. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.